We're coming to this very last verse in all of the Bible. We can call it God's last word. And very soon the midnight hour of the old year will strike and we will launch into a new year. And we need, above all else, we need God's grace. And I think that this verse is really God's ultimate promise that wherever we go, wherever we be, whatever we do, we will have His grace. Now, interestingly, the Old Testament's very last word is the word curse. And here, at the end of the New Testament, the very last word is grace, or amen is the actual last word, but it's saying, so be it, grant us that grace which the Lord is promising here. And so it is God's final word, grace to bless us. God has not stopped blessing, and what this text is saying is He will not stop blessing His people until the very day of His return. Now, for Christians, it is grace all the way to glory. Let that sink in tonight. Grace all the way to glory. But what is grace? Some define it very simply as God's riches at Christ's expense. God's Son had to suffer, pay the price of death and suffering, that He might pour into our lives the blessing, the favor, the fullness of God into our hearts. We could also say that grace is everything for nothing to those who deserve absolutely nothing. And that's us. And we rejoice tonight in the grace of God. And it's the essence of the gospel. We call it the doctrines of grace. It all begins with God, and it ends with God. I want to give you a little example in a story of a girl called Christina. She lived in the land of Brazil. She grew up in a very poor Brazilian neighborhood, and she wanted to see the world. Discontented with home, family, having only a pallet on the floor for a bed, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove, she dreamed of a better life in the city. And one morning she slipped away, breaking her mother's heart. And knowing what life on the streets in the city for her beautiful daughter would be, that mother set upon a plan. And she headed to the bus station to make the trip to the city to find her. But before she got on the bus, she went to the photographer's kiosk. And with what coins she had, she made photograph after photograph of herself. And with just enough money left for the bus trip, she set out for the city of Rio. Now, the mother, Maria, knew Christina had no way of earning money. She also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. And when pride meets hunger, a human will do things that are unthinkable. And knowing this, Maria began to search bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place where the reputation for streetwalkers may be found. She went to them all, and in each place she placed a picture of herself. She taped them to bathroom mirrors. She tacked them to hotel bulletin boards. She fastened them to phone booths. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. And it wasn't too long until both her money and pictures ran out. Maria had to go home, and the weary mother got back on the bus feeling greatly defeated. It was a few weeks later that her daughter Christina descended the stairs of a hotel room. And her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with youth, but spoke of pain and fear. And the daughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. And 1,000 times she had longed to trade her position for what she once had back at home. And yet that little village was in many ways too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face. And of course it was a picture of her mother. She looked at that picture for some time and then she flipped it over to read the note which said, "Whatever you've done, whatever you become, come home. Please come home." And she did. And of course, bit like the prodigal son who came to himself and ran home to his father, she was well received. And this is how God treats with us throughout life. When we miss the standard and we miss the glory of God in our lives, God says to us, and this is grace, whatever you've done, whatever you become, come home. And we know that with our God there is grace and there is mercy. And here in this final word of the New Testament, we have this wonderful statement, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." I want you to notice firstly here the source of this grace. This grace is not an institution. This grace is not a principle. It is not some government edict, but rather it's a person. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus. If you jump back to verse 16, it says here, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." And so the very source of grace is the Lord Jesus himself. He's the one that we need to know. He's the one that we need to run to when we are in need of grace. Now, all life comes from the Lord to us. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And all spiritual life comes to God's people through the Lord Jesus. As you look over this chapter 22, you'll notice that there is all life in him. Look at verse 14, and you will see that you have the tree of life. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life." Then in verse 17, you have the water of life. "And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And then verse 19, you have the book of life. "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." And of course, the Lord Jesus is the giver of life. And he gives us salvation. He gives us that our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And of course, he does for us his own good pleasure. And we were looking at Revelation chapter 4 this morning, and in verse 11 we noticed that it was the good pleasure of the Lord, and for that they worshipped him. Now, what is the good pleasure of the Lord to us? What does the Lord take delight in? Well, it's to bestow grace. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all." And this is his benediction. This is his final word. And he wants you to live in the enjoyment, in the power, and in the strength of his grace, his life flowing into your life. And surely we can take this as the final revelation of our God. He has a purpose of mercy or grace, not misery, not to defeat, not to cast us down, not to do us harm, but to bless. I think of Ruth when she was gleaning in the field of Boaz. And the command of Boaz to the men was, let handfuls of barley fall on purpose. Let some tip out of the bag, out of the barrel, and let that grain fall in the ground, so that Ruth, when she's coming after the reapers, she will gather in some for herself. Now God will dispense His grace so that we may find it, enjoy it, and be blessed by it. I want you to turn with me to a great verse in the Bible, to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And here is a text of God's purpose of grace, of His desire to bless. And He says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And there you notice that the Lord is working with a purpose in mind. There's a target, an objective, and along the way He's going to give us peace, and He's going to work in us His own purposes. I'm also thinking of the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, and there are 9 of them in total. And there you learn of the blessing upon blessing upon blessing on God's people. And you have the blessed man also in Psalm 1. The man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but in God's law does he delight day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, this is God ministering to you and me tonight. We are conscious of the year that has gone by, the grace that has gotten to where we're at tonight. But there's also the fear that, well, maybe I'm running dry. Maybe I'm burned out. Maybe I'm unable to go a little further. Is there any blessing in store in the days ahead? And of course, the tempter would come along and say to you, you're defeated. This is the end of the road. You've hit a brick wall. You can go no further. But here is the Lord's final word to you and to me tonight. I need this word as much as anyone. I need to know that as we press forward to minister the gospel and serve the Lord, that we will be granted grace. Grace as we need it. Grace and strength for each and every task. And just to know that God delights in blessing. Such is His great heart, full of love, kindness, pity, and care for His own covenant people. And the one thing I shared with you this year that has gone by, that God's grace never flows upward. It always flows downward. When you are a junior, you cannot bless someone above you. It is according to the king to bestow mercy on a subject. But a subject cannot bestow mercy on a king. But we can enjoy the mercy of the Lord that flows down to us. God owes absolutely nothing to us as creatures, but as children, He bestows mercy again, again, and again. We have to confess that we are all covenant breakers, commandment breakers. We deserve nothing. And once we get on our high heels and begin to argue and reason, I deserve more than this, then we have lost really the understanding of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's everything to those who deserve nothing. And God has sent us a Savior, His Son, that He will dispense grace to us all the way to glory. And if you're a Christian tonight, that's your portion. That should send you home singing and rejoicing, knowing that you can face the future, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. If you're not a Christian, you do not have grace. You do not have God's favor. It's only when you come to the cross as an empty sinner, guilty of so much, and you plead the covering of that blood, that covenant with God, that He begins to deal with you on the terms of grace. And then you've got a new beginning. And what a wonderful theme as we launch into a new year. We have a new beginning with God. Old things pass away and all things become new. Let's think then about the sufficiency of this grace. Well, it was sufficient for John. John, who received this revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John. He was a man who served God for possibly 60 years. Imagine, he walked with God all those years. Now, this is not the age of the pre-flood times when people lived like Methuselah to 969. That was a different age. But in the New Testament, first generation Christians, those who started out knowing Jesus one-to-one and who were followers of Him after the cross, after the resurrection, all those years, right through their long life. And here, John is receiving this very message. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. All the hardships, all the trials, all the troubles of life. Now you'll notice as we read verse 16 that there's a message here to the churches. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now, Revelation begins with those seven churches in Asia Minor. And there was only one of them that didn't have a major complaint. The others had various problems. There were various kinds of difficulties, apostasies, coldness, lukewarmness. There was need for repentance in those churches. But the Lord wasn't finished with them. He would give them the grace to put things right. The grace to repent. The grace to change. The grace to do better. What a wonderful thought as we launch into a new year. We can do better. We can serve God better in the year to come. Let's not think that we're coming to the end, but rather we're coming to a new start with a new opportunity to worship and to serve God. And of course, there is a great promise. The Lord says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. I will fill it. And if there's anyone here tonight that needs that promise, I need it. There's times when I stand in this pulpit and say, Lord, what am I going to say? What am I going to preach and teach today? And so I need to rest in the help that the Lord gives. In this book of Revelation, you'll find that this grace was sufficient for the martyrs. Not just the churches, but for the martyrs. Those that were persecuted and laid down their lives for the Lord Jesus. Go back to chapter 7 and verse 14. Revelation 7, verse 14. And you'll read here about those who were greatly persecuted for the Lord. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're now in heaven, and they are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And then Revelation 20, verse 4, is another passage that applies to martyrs. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, there was a time when we would have think that would be a very strange thing to happen for people to be beheaded because they're a Christian. But we are living in the day when this is happening. And there are people, because they name the name of Christ, they will not surrender loyalty to Him, and they lose their head physically. And here is grace for the martyr, even to lay down their lives. And there have been any number of stories and accounts of those who had God's grace, God's strength, to lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus. After all, the Lord has said, "Be thou faithful unto death." What about you and me? Have we ever been challenged? Speak against the Lord or die. Have we ever thought of how we would meet that challenge? We have all the doctrine and all the knowledge of Christianity. We believe this book from cover to cover. But do you think that God could give you the grace to lay down your life? Well, we won't know until the hour comes. We won't get that grace until we are called to suffer and even lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus. But the grace of the Lord is sufficient. It is sufficient right unto the end. And it's sufficient for our trials. Now, you might say, as you face the world and face issues in the new year that's coming, "I don't know where I'm going to get the strength. I don't know how I'm going to do it." Well, the Lord can give you the grace to face the enemy. Of course, He's given us the Christian armor. And He tells us to put on that armor. We're not to lay down. We're not to give in. We are to face the enemy in the strength, in the endowment of the Lord. And that certainly is the will of God. Then also, when we are weak and tempted, sometimes the most horrific battles that a Christian faces is in the quiet place of temptation. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9, you will find a verse here where the apostle was greatly troubled by bodily affliction. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And you may mourn tonight your weakness, and you may launch and look out into a new year and you wonder, "I'm too weak, I can't do this. I can't fill the role that God has called me to fulfill." And here the Lord answers, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you'll notice that in this case, God did not take away the problem that Paul was facing. This thorn in the flesh, this physical trouble. God called him to walk the road of enduring physical, bodily trouble. But He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then another verse, perhaps the direct speaks more directly to temptation, is 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." And that's the final word. But God is faithful. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, what you face is not unusual. It's not unique. You're not on your own. But God is faithful. He will be there. He will strengthen you. He will give you the victory. And it says, "Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And here is grace in the hour of temptation. Will you take that to heart tonight? Will you cease to be filled with fear and trepidation, knowing that God is faithful, and that faithfulness of God will carry you through? There's another time in our lives when we need grace, and we would call it Peter's grace, when he denied the Lord. When through the challenge of a youthful girl, Peter flunked, and he just fell into the weakest denial of the Lord. How do you get back on your feet? How do you get back into the place of blessing and victory? Well, here is a promise. My grace, God's grace, will be with you. And you know the story of Peter. While Peter feared the Lord did not leave him. The Lord restored him. And the Lord gave him the victory and gave him the grace to be the man that he needed to be. And then I would add one more thing about the sufficiency of grace, and that is sufficient to pray. And in that area, we all need power. If there's one place where the Christian is proven to be weak, it's in the place of prayer. How little we pray, how short our prayer times are, how little we ask, how little we conquer at the throne of grace. We need grace to be men and women of prayer. Now, coming back to Revelation 22 and verse 21, you'll notice here that there is the persistence of this grace, because in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. This was a word that Christians should hold on to until the last day when the Lord will return. And it's a word that's for all time, for all circumstances, and for all saints. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. So don't get into the mindset, well, oh yes, we expect our pastor to get the grace. We expect elders to get the grace. We expect that other brother to get the grace, but there won't be any for me. That is to deny yourself the very promise and the blessing that God's given you tonight. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Your name is on the package. And of course, the Lord will give you that grace. And the practical implication is, don't put yourself on the outside. Include yourself here. Take the promise. Rejoice in it. Live it and rejoice that the Lord will be with you. We come then to the presence of this grace. And let this be our testimony. And we will not know this grace until we launch out. We will not be witnesses of His grace until we receive the Lord's power in our own souls. And it is this power that will make us what we need to be for God. Now, I have a whole bunch of examples here tonight, and I'm not going to take time to preach them all, but just think of Jonah. There's no poorer example of an evangelist than Jonah. But God used him mightily. What a wonderful testimony to God's grace at work through the weakest of men. There's David, there's Moses, and God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will be with you and give you rest. And you remember how Moses prayed, that if you go not up before us, lead us not up hence. Well, that would be our prayer in this new year. Lord, if you don't go before us, if you don't give us this grace, we don't dare to go. And so we take this to heart and rejoice in the presence of God. In the New Testament, there's probably that verse that every Christian claims in time of trial. And it's Hebrews 13:5. I'd like you to turn there, and I'd like us just to think on this as our closing thought tonight. Here in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. That simply means do not be overtaken with the love of money. Don't let your lifestyle be borne down by the love of money. And be content with such things as ye have. And then the argument comes. Here's the reason how you can do this. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now I have read it in a number of places that in that text there are five negatives. And so I got my concordance. And I looked up the Greek text behind this English verse. And behind us, it reads literally like this. For he hath said, never not thou slacken, neither not thou leave behind. That's how it would really read literally. Five negatives. And here is the Lord's absolute statement that his presence will be with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that New Testament text in Hebrews 13:5 is built on three Old Testament citations. Deuteronomy 31, Joshua 1, and 1 Chronicles 28. And here we have an amazing statement. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that really is equal to what the Lord gives us here in the final verse of Revelation 22. This word which says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now we can use that as a benediction. We can use it today. We can use it at midnight on Wednesday when the old year ends and the new year begins. We can use it every day until we see the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.